L.A. Theatre Works presents A Dollhouse by Henrik Ibsen, translated by Rolf Fielde, directed by Rosalind Ayres. Starring Calista Flockhart, Joe Beth Williams, Gregory Itzen, Tony Abetamarco, Tim DeKay, and Jeannie Elias. Nora Helmer has everything a young housewife could want. Beautiful children, an adoring husband, and a bright future. But when a carelessly buried secret arises from the past, Nora's well-calibrated domestic ideal starts to crumble. And now, A Dollhouse by Henrik Ibsen, produced by LA Theatre Works.
Would you take the tree? Whew! I must put all these packages down.
Yes, Miss Nora.
How much for the delivery?
He says it's 50, madam.
Ooh, there's a crown. Tell him to keep the change. Oh, hide the tree well, Helene. The children mustn't get a glimpse of it until this evening after it's trimmed.
Oh, yes, madame.
Tra-la-la. Only one little macaroon. Delicious. One more. I wonder if... Ah, yes. Torvald is home. Tra-la-la, tra-la-la.
Oh, is that my little lark twittering out there?
Yes, it is.
Is that my squirrel rummaging around?
Yes.
When did my squirrel get in?
Just now. Oh, do come in, Torvald, and see what I've bought.
Can't be disturbed.
Bought, you say? All that there has a little spendthrift been out throwing money around again.
Oh, but Torvald, this year we really should let ourselves go a bit. It's the first Christmas we haven't had to economize.
But you know we can't go squandering.
Oh, Torvald, we can squander a little bit now, can't we? Just a tiny wee bit, now that you've got a big salary and are going to make piles and piles of money.
Yes, starting New Year's, but then it's a full 3 months till the raise comes through.
Oh, pooh. We can borrow till then.
Nora, are your scatterbrains off again? What if today I borrowed 1,000 crowns and you squandered them over Christmas week, and then on New Year's Eve a roof tile fell on my head and I lay there?
Don't say such
things. Yes, but what if it happened, then what?
Well, if anything so awful happened, then it just wouldn't matter if I had debts or not.
Well, but the people I'd borrowed from?
Oh, who cares about them? They're strangers.
Nora, how like a woman. No, but seriously, Nora, you know what I think about that. No debts, never borrow. Something of freedom's lost, and something of beauty, too, from a home that's founded on borrowing and debt. We've made a brave stand up to now, the two of us, and we'll go right on like that the little while we have to.
Yes, whatever you say, Torvald.
Oh, now, the little lark's wings mustn't droop. Come on, don't be a sulky squirrel. Nora, guess what I have here?
Money.
There, see, good Lord, I know how costs go up in the house at Christmas time.
10, 20, 30, 40. Oh, thank you, Torvald. I can manage no end on this.
You really will have to.
Oh, yes, I promise I will. But come here so I can show you everything I bought. And so cheap. Look. New clothes for Ivar here, and a sword, and here a horse and a trumpet for Bob, and a doll and a doll's bed here for Emmy. Oh, they're nothing much, but she'll tear them to bits in no time anyway. And here I have dress material and handkerchiefs for the maids. Oh, old Anne Marie really deserves something more.
And what's in that package there?
Oh, Torvald, no, you can't look at that until tonight.
I see. But tell me now, you little prodigal, what have you thought of for yourself?
For myself? Ugh. I don't want anything at all.
Oh, of course you do. Just tell me what, within reason, you'd most like to have.
I honestly don't know. Well, listen, Torvald.
Yes?
If you want to give me something, Maybe you could... Well, you could...
Come on, out with it.
You could give me money, Torvald. No more than you think you can spare, and then one of these days I'll buy something with
it. But Nora...
Oh, but please, Torvald, darling, do it. Do what I beg you. Please, please. Then I could hang the bills in pretty gilt paper on the Christmas tree. Wouldn't that be fun?
What are those little birds called that always fly through their fortunes?
Oh, yes, spendthrifts. I know all that, but let's do as I say, Torvald. Then I'll have time to decide what I really need most. That's very sensible, isn't it?
Yes, very. That is, if you actually hung on to the money I give you and you actually used it to buy yourself something. But it goes for the house and for all sorts of foolish things. And then I only have to lay out some more.
No, but Torvald...
No, no, don't deny it, my dear little Nora. Spendthrifts are sweet, but they use up a frightful amount of money. It's incredible what it costs a man to feed such birds.
Oh, how can you say that? Really? I save everything I can.
Yes, that's the truth. Everything you can, but that's nothing at all.
If you only knew what expenses we larks and squirrels have, Torvald.
Oh, you're an odd little one. Exactly the way your father was. You're never at a loss for scaring up money, but the moment you have it, it runs right through your fingers. You never know what you've done with it. Well, one takes you as you are. It's deep in your blood. Yes, these things are hereditary, Nora.
I could wish I'd inherited many of Papa's qualities.
And I couldn't wish you anything but just what you are, my sweet little lark. Oh, but wait. Seems to me you have a very, what should I call it? A very suspicious look today.
I do?
You certainly do. Look me straight in the eye.
Well?
Surely my sweet tooth hasn't been running riot in town today, has she?
No. Why do you imagine that?
My sweet tooth really didn't make a little detour through the confectioner's.
No, I assure you, Torvald.
Hasn't nibbled some pastry?
No, not at all.
Not even munched a macaroon or two?
No, Torvald, I assure you, really.
There. Now, of course, I'm only joking.
You know I could never think of going against you.
No, I understand that. And you have given me your word. Well, you keep your little Christmas secrets to yourself, Nora, darling. I expect they'll come to light this evening when the tree is lit.
Did you remember to ask Dr. Rank?
Oh, no, but there's no need for that. It's assumed he'll be dining with us. All the same, I'll ask him when he stops by here this morning. I've ordered some fine wine, Nora. You can't imagine how I'm looking forward to this evening.
So am I. And what fun for the children, Torvald.
Oh, so gratifying to know one's gotten a safe, secure job and with a comfortable salary. It's a great satisfaction, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Remember last Christmas? 3 whole weeks before, you shut yourself in every evening till long after midnight, making flowers for the Christmas tree and all the other decorations to surprise us. Oh, that was the dullest time I've ever lived through.
Wasn't it all dull for me?
But the outcome was pretty sorry, Nora.
Oh, don't tease me with that again. How could I help with it? The cat came in and tore everything to shreds.
No, poor thing, you certainly couldn't. You wanted so much to please us all, and that's what counts. But it's just as well that the hard times are past.
Yes, it is really wonderful.
Now I don't have to sit here alone boring myself, and you don't have to tire your precious eyes and your fair little delicate hands.
No, is it really true, Torvald? I don't have to? Mm-mm. Oh, how wonderfully lovely to hear. Now, I'll tell you just how I've thought we should plan things. Right after Christmas... Ugh, the bell. Somebody would have to come. What a bore.
I'm not at home to visitors. Don't forget.
Ma'am, a lady to see you.
All right, let her come in.
And the doctor's just come in too, Mr. Helmer.
Did he go right to my study?
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
Your visitor, Miss Nora.
Hello, Nora.
Hello.
You don't recognize me.
No. No, I don't. Wait, I think. What? What, Christine? Christine, is it really you?
Yes, it's me.
Oh, Christine. Oh, to think that I didn't recognize you. But then how could I? Oh, dear, how you've changed, Christine.
Well, yes, no doubt I have in 9 or 10 long years.
Oh, is it so long since we met? Mm. Yes, it is all of that. Oh, these last 8 years have been a happy time, believe me. And now you've come into town too, made the long trip in the winter. That took courage.
I just got here by ship this morning.
Oh, to enjoy yourself over Christmas, of course. How lovely. And yes, yes, enjoy ourselves. We'll do that. But take your coat off. You're not still cold. Mm. Here, 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 here. Let me help you.
Oh, thank you, Nora.
No. Mm. There, yes. Let's sit down and get cozy by the stove. Mm. Oh, no, 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 no. The easy chair there. I'll take the rocker here. Oh, yes. Yes, now you have your old look again. It was only in that first moment. But you are a bit pale, Christine, and maybe a bit thinner.
And much, much older, Nora.
Yes. Yes, perhaps a bit older. A tiny, 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 tiny bit. Not much at all. Oh, but thoughtless me to sit here chattering away. Oh, sweet, good Christine, can you forgive me?
What do you mean, Nora?
Poor Christine, you've become a widow.
Yes, 3 years ago.
Oh, I knew it, of course. I read it in the papers. Oh, Christine, you must believe me. I have often thought of writing you then, but I kept postponing it, and then something always interfered.
Nora, dear, I completely understand.
No, no, it was awful of me, Christine. You poor thing. How much you must have gone through, and he left you nothing.
No.
And no children.
No.
Nothing at all, then.
Not even a sense of loss to feed on.
Oh, but Christine, how could that be?
Oh, sometimes it happens, Nora.
Oh, so completely alone. How terribly hard that must be for you. I have three lovely children.
Ah.
You can't see them now. They're out with the maid. But now, you must tell me everything.
No, no, no. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, no, no, no. You begin. Today, I do not want to be selfish. I want to think only of you today. But there is one thing that I must tell you. Did you hear of the wonderful luck that we've had recently?
No. What's that?
My husband's been made manager in the bank. Just think.
Your husband? How marvelous.
Yes, isn't it? Being a lawyer is such an uncertain living, you know, especially if one won't touch any cases that aren't clean and decent. And of course, Torvald would never do that, and I'm completely with him there. Oh, we're simply delighted, believe me. He'll join the bank right after New Year's and start getting a huge salary and lots of commissions, and from now on we can live quite differently, just as we want. Oh, Christine, I feel so light and happy. Won't it be lovely to have stacks of money and not a care in the world?
Well, anyway, it would be lovely to have enough for necessities.
No, no, not just for necessities, but stacks and stacks of money.
Nora, Nora, aren't you sensible yet? Back in school, you were such a free spender.
Oh, yes, yes, that's what Torvald still says. But Nora, Nora isn't as silly as you all think. Really? We've been in no position to go squandering. We've had to work. Both of us.
You too?
Yes. At odd jobs, needlework, crocheting, embroidery and such, and other things too. You remember that Torvald left the department when we were married. Well, there was no chance of promotion in his office, and of course he needed to earn more money, but that first year, he drove himself terribly. He took on all kinds of extra work that kept him going morning and night, and it wore him down. And then he fell deathly ill.
Oh.
The doctor said it was essential for him to travel south.
Yes. Didn't you spend a whole year in Italy?
That's right. It wasn't easy to get away, you know. Ivar had just been born, but of course we had to go. Oh, that was a beautiful trip, and it saved Torvald's life, but it cost an awful lot of money, Christine.
I can well imagine.
4,800 crowns it cost. That's really a lot of money.
But it's lucky you had it when you needed it.
Well, as it was, we got it from Papa.
I see. It was just about the time your father died.
Yes, just about then. And you know, I couldn't make the trip out to nurse him. I had to stay here expecting Ivar any moment with my poor sick Torvald to care for.
Oh.
Dearest Papa, I never saw him again, Christine. Mm. That was the worst time I've known in all my marriage.
I know how you loved him. And then you went off to Italy.
Yes. We had the means now, and the doctors urged us, so we left a month after.
And your husband came back completely cured?
Sound as a drum.
But the doctor...
Who?
I thought the maid said he was a doctor, the man who came in with me.
Oh, yes, 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 that was Dr. Rank. Oh, but he's not making a sick call. He's our closest friend, and he stops by at least once a day. No? No, Torvald hasn't had a sick moment since, and the children are fit and strong, and I am too. And oh, dear God, Christine, what a lovely thing to live and be happy. But how disgusting of me. I'm talking of nothing but my own affairs. Oh, don't be angry with me. Tell me, is it really true that you weren't in love with your husband, and why did you marry him then?
My mother was still alive, but bedridden and helpless, and I had my two younger brothers to look after. In all conscience, I didn't think I could turn him down.
No, you were right there. But was he rich at the time?
He was very well off, I'd say. But the business was shaky, Nora. When he died, it all fell apart and nothing was left.
And then?
Yes, so I had to scrape a living with a little shop and a little teaching and whatever else I could find. Last 3 years have been like one endless workday without a rest for me. Oh. Now it's over, Nora. My poor mother doesn't need me. She's passed on. And the boys either. They're both working now and can take care of themselves.
How free you must feel.
No, only unspeakably empty. Nothing to live for now. That's why I couldn't take it any longer out in that desolate hole. Maybe here it'll be easier to find something to do and keep my mind occupied. If only I could be lucky enough to get a steady job, some office work.
Oh, but Christine, that's so dreadfully tiring, and you already look so tired. It would be much better for you if you could go off to a spa.
I have no father to give me travel money, Nora.
Oh, don't be angry with me.
Oh, Nora, dear, don't be angry with me. The worst of my kind of situation is all the bitterness that's stored away. No one to work for. And yet you're always having to snap up your opportunities. You have to live, and so you grow selfish. When you told me the happy change in your lot, do you know I was less delighted for your sakes than for mine?
How so? I see. You think maybe Torvald could do something for you.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And he will, Christine. Just leave it to me. I'll bring it up so delicately. Find something attractive to humor him with. Oh, I'm so eager to help you.
Oh, how very kind of you, Nora, to be so concerned over me. Doubly kind, considering you really know so little of life's burdens yourself.
I know so little.
Well, my heavens, a little needlework and such. Nora, you're just a child.
You don't have to act so superior.
Oh.
You're just like the others. You all think I'm incapable of anything serious.
Oh, come now.
That I've never had to face the raw world.
Nora, dear, you've just been telling me all your troubles.
Oh, poo. Trivia. I haven't told you the big thing.
Big thing? What do you mean?
Oh, you look down on me so, Christine, but you shouldn't. You're proud that you worked so hard and long for your mother.
I don't look down on a soul, but it is true. I am proud and happy to think that it was given to me to make my mother's last days almost free of care.
And you're also proud thinking of what you've done for your brothers.
I feel I've a right to be.
I agree. But listen to this, Christine. I've also got something to be proud and happy for.
Well, I don't doubt it, but whatever do you mean?
Ooh, not so loud. What if Torvald heard? He mustn't. Not for anything in the world. Nobody must know, Christine. No one but you.
But what is it then?
Come here. It's true. I've also got something to be proud and happy for. I'm the one who saved Torvald's life.
Saved? Saved how?
Well, I told you about the trip to Italy. Torvald never would have lived if he hadn't gone south.
Of course, your father gave you the means.
That's what Torvald and all the rest think, but...
But?
Papa didn't give us a pin. I was the one who raised the money.
You? The whole amount?
4,800 crowns. What do you say to that?
But, Nora, how is it possible? Did you win the lottery?
Oh, the lottery, poo. No art to that.
But where did you get it from, then?
Tra-la-la.
Because you couldn't have borrowed
oh,
it.
Oh, really? Why not?
Well, a wife can't borrow without her husband's consent.
But a wife with a little business sense. A wife who knows how to manage.
Nora, I simply don't understand.
Oh, well, you don't have to. Whoever said I borrowed the money? I could have gotten it in other ways. I could have gotten it from some admirer. After all, a girl with my ravishing appeal.
You lunatic!
Oh, I'll bet you're eaten up with curiosity, Christine.
Now, listen here, Nora. You haven't done something indiscreet.
Is it indiscreet to save your husband's life?
I think it's indiscreet that without his knowledge...
Oh, but that's the point. He mustn't know. My Lord, Christine, can't you understand? He mustn't ever know the close call he had. It was to me the doctors came to say his life was in danger, that nothing could save him but a stay in the South. Ugh! Didn't I try strategy then? I began talking about how lovely it would be for me to travel abroad like other young wives. I begged and I cried and I told him, please, please, to remember my condition, to be kind and indulge me. And then I dropped a hint that he could easily take out a loan. Oh, but at that, Christine, he nearly exploded. He said I was frivolous. And it was his duty as man of the house not to indulge me in whims and fancies, as I think he called them. Aha, I thought. Now you'll just have to be saved. And that's when I saw my chance.
And your father never told Torvald the money wasn't from him?
No, Papa died right about then. I'd considered bringing him into my secret and begging him never to tell, but he was too sick at the time, and then, sadly, it didn't matter.
And you've never confided in your husband since?
Oh, for heaven's sake, no. Are you serious? He is so strict on that subject. Besides, Torvald, with all his masculine pride, how painfully humiliating for him if he ever found out he was in debt to me. Mm. No, that would just ruin our relationship. Our beautiful, happy home would never be the same.
Won't you ever tell him?
Oh, yes. Maybe sometime, years from now, when I'm no longer so attractive. Oh, no, don't laugh. I only mean when Torvald loves me less than now, when he stops enjoying my dancing and dressing up and reciting for him, then it might be wise to have something in reserve. Mm-hmm. Oh, how ridiculous. That'll never happen. Well, Christine, what do you think of my big secret? I'm capable of something, too. You can imagine, of course, how this thing hangs over me. It really hasn't been easy meeting the payments on time. Listen, in the business world, there's what they call quarterly interest and what they call amortization. Mm. And these things are always so terribly hard to manage. Oh, yes, I've had to skimp a little here and there wherever I could, you know. I could hardly save anything from my house allowance because Torvald has to live well, and I couldn't let the children go poorly dressed. Whatever I got for them, I felt I had to use up completely, the darlings.
Poor Nora, so it had to come out of your own budget then?
Yes, of course, but then it really was up to me, too. Every time Torvald gave me money for new clothes and such, I never used more than half. Always bought the simplest, cheapest outfits. It was a godsend that everything looked so well on me that Torvald never noticed. Oh, but it did weigh me down at times, Christine. It is such a joy to wear fine things, you understand.
Oh, of course.
And then I found other ways of making money. Last winter, I was lucky enough to get a lot of copying to do. I locked myself in and sat writing every evening till late in the night. Oh, I was tired so often, dead tired, but still it was wonderful fun. Sitting and working like that, earning money, it was almost like being a man.
But how much have you paid off this way so far?
Well, that's hard to say exactly. You know, these accounts, they aren't easy to figure. Mm. I only know that I've paid out all that I could scrape together, and time and again I haven't known where to turn. And then I'd sit here, dreaming of a rich old gentleman who had fallen in love with me.
What? Who is he?
And then he'd die. And when his will was opened, there in big letters it said, "All my fortune shall be paid over in cash immediately to that enchanting Mrs. Nora Helmer."
But Nora, who was this gentleman?
Oh, good Lord, can't you understand anything? The old man never existed. That was only something I'd dream up time and again whenever I was at my wit's end for money.
Ah.
Oh, but it makes no difference now. The old fossil can go where he pleases for all I care. I don't need him or his will. Because now I'm free. Oh. Oh, how lovely to think of that, Christine. Carefree. To know you're carefree, utterly carefree. To be able to romp and play with the children and to keep up a beautiful, charming home. Everything just the way Torvald likes it. And think, spring is coming with big blue skies. Oh, maybe we can travel a little then. Maybe I'll get to see the ocean again. Oh, yes. Yes, it is so marvelous to live and be happy.
Oh, there's the bell. It's probably best that I go.
Oh, no, no, no. Stay, stay. There's no one expected. It must be for Torvald.
Excuse me, ma'am. There's a gentleman here to see Mr. Helmer, but I didn't know since the doctor's with him.
Who is this gentleman?
It's me, Mrs. Helmer.
Oh, my.
Oh. You. What is it?
Oh.
Why do you want to speak to my husband?
Bank business, after a fashion. I have a small job at the investment bank, and I hear your husband is going to be our chief.
In other words, it's...
Just dry business, Mrs. Helmer. Nothing but that.
Yes. Then please be good enough to go along the hall and into the study.
Thank you, Mrs. Helmer.
Nora, who was that man?
That was a Mr. Krogstad, a lawyer.
Then it really was him.
Do you know that person?
I did once, many years ago. For a time, he was a law clerk in our town.
Yes, he's been that.
How he's changed.
I understand he had a very unhappy marriage.
He's a widower now.
With a number of children.
They say he has a hand in all kinds of business.
Oh? Oh, well, that may be true. I wouldn't know. But let's not think about business. It's so dull.
No, no, really, Torvald, I don't want to intrude. I'd just as soon talk a little while with your wife. Oh, beg pardon, Nora. I'm intruding here, too.
No, not at all. Dr. Rank. Mrs. Lind.
Well, now, that's a name much heard in this house. I believe I passed the lady outside on the stairs as I came up.
Yes, I take the stairs very slowly. They're rather hard on me.
Uh-huh. Some touch of internal weakness.
More overexertion, I'd say.
Oh, nothing else? Then you're probably here in town to rest up in a round of parties?
I'm here to look for work.
Is that the best cure for overexertion?
One has to live, Doctor.
Yes, there's a common prejudice to that effect.
Oh, come on, Dr. Rank. You really do want to live yourself.
Yes, I really do. Wretched as I am, I'll gladly prolong my torment indefinitely. All my patients feel like that. And it's quite the same, too, with the morally sick. Right in this moment, there's one of those moral invalids in there with Helmer.
Ah,
who do you mean?
Oh, it's a lawyer. Krogstad, a type you wouldn't know. His character is rotten to the root. But even he began chattering all importantly about how he had to live.
Oh. What did he want to talk to Torvald about?
I really don't know. I only heard something about the bank.
I didn't know that this man Krogstad had anything to do with the bank?
Yes, he's gotten some kind of position there. Mrs. Lind, I don't know if you also have in your neck of the woods a type of person who scuttles about breathlessly, sniffing out hints of moral corruption, and then maneuvers his victim into some sort of key position where he can keep an eye on him. It's the healthy these days that are out in the cold.
All the same, Dr. Rank, it's the sick who most need to be taken in.
Ah, yes, there we have it. That's the concept that's turning society into a sanatorium. Now, why do you laugh at that, Nora? Do you have any real idea of what society is?
Oh, what do I care about dreary old society? I was laughing at something quite different, something terribly funny. Tell me, Doctor... Is everyone who works in the bank dependent now on Torvald?
Is that what you find so terribly funny?
Oh, never mind. Never mind. Yes, yes, that's really immensely amusing that Torvald has so much power now over all those people. Dr. Rank, a little macaroon on that?
Oh, see here, macaroons. Now, I thought they were contraband here.
Yes, but... These are some that Christine brought me.
What?
Now, don't be afraid. You couldn't possibly know that Torvald had forbidden them. You see, he's terribly afraid that they'll ruin my teeth. But, poo, just this once, isn't that so, Dr. Rank? Help yourself. Here.
Mm.
And you too, Christine.
Mm.
Oh. And I'll also have one.
Mm.
Only a little one.
Mm-hmm.
Or two at the most. Now I'm really tremendously happy. Now there's just one last thing in the world that I have an enormous desire to do.
Well, and what's that?
It's something I have such a consuming desire to say, so Torvald could hear.
And why can't you say it?
Oh, I don't dare. It's quite shocking.
Shocking?
Well, then it isn't advisable. But in front of us, you certainly can. What do you have such a desire to say so Torvald could hear?
I have a huge desire to say, to hell and be damned.
Are you crazy?
Nora.
Well, go on, say it. Here he is.
Oh, quickly. Well, Torvald, dear, are you through with him?
Yes, he just left.
Let me introduce you. This is Christine, who's arrived here in town.
Christine, I'm sorry, but I don't
know. Mrs. Lind, Torvald, dear. Mrs. Christine Lind.
Of course, a childhood friend of my wife's, no doubt.
Yes, we knew each other in those days.
And just think, she made the long trip down here in order to talk with you.
What's this?
Well, not exactly.
No. You see, Christine is remarkably clever in office work, and she's so terribly eager to come under a capable man's supervision and add more to what she already knows.
Very wise, Mrs. Lind.
And then when she heard that you'd become a bank manager, the story was wired out to the papers. Then she came in as fast as she could, and... Oh, really, Torvald, for my sake, you can do a little something for Christine, can't you?
Yes, it's not at all impossible. Mrs. Lind, I suppose you're a widow?
Yes.
Any experience in office work?
Oh, yes, a good deal.
Well, it's quite likely that I can make an opening for you.
Oh, you see?
You've come at a lucky moment, Mrs.
Lind. Oh, how can I thank you?
Not necessary, but today you'll have to excuse me. I have to go out.
Oh, wait, I'll go with you.
Don't stay out long, dear.
An hour, no more.
Oh, are you going too, Christine?
Yes, I have to see about a room now.
Then perhaps we can all walk together.
What a shame we're so cramped here, but it's quite impossible for us.
Oh, no, don't even think about it. Goodbye, Nora, dear, and thanks for everything.
Well, goodbye for now. Of course you'll be back this evening, and you too, Dr. Rank.
Yes, if I'm well enough.
What? If you're well enough, you have to be. Wrap up tight now. There they are. Oh, I can hear them on the stairs. There they are.
I flew faster than the wind.
Come in. Oh, thank you, Anne-Marie.
In you go, children.
Oh, you darlings. Look at them, Christine. Aren't they lovely?
Oh, no, yes. Loitering in the draft here, children.
Come, Mrs. Lind. This place is unbearable now for anyone but mothers. The doctor and I will walk you down the stairs.
Goodbye, Nora.
Oh, how fresh and strong you look, my darlings. Oh, such red cheeks you have, like apples and roses. And it was so much fun.
Oh, yes, Mother.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I pulled them along.
Really? You pulled both Emmy and Bob on the sled. Imagine all together. Yes, you're a clever boy, Ivar.
Mama!
Oh, let me hold her a bit, Anne-Marie, my sweet little baby doll.
Me too, and me, Mother.
Yes, Mama will dance with Bob as well.
Snowballs!
What? Did you throw snowballs?
Yes!
Oh, if only I'd been there. Now, don't bother, Anne-Marie, I'll undress them myself. Yes, let me, it's such fun. Go into the playroom and rest, you look half frozen. There's hot coffee waiting for you on the stove.
Thank you, Miss Nora. Mama, a big doggy chased us.
Is that so? A big dog chased you, but it didn't bite. No, dogs never bite little lovely doll babies. Don't peek in the packages, Ivar.
What is it, Mother?
What is it? Yes, wouldn't you like to know? No, it's an ugly something. Well, shall we play?
Yes.
What shall we play?
When we hide.
Hide and seek. Yes, let's play hide and seek. Bob must hide first.
No, you hide, Mother.
I must. Yes, let me hide first. Run into the playroom while I hide.
I'm going to find her. I'm going to find her really fast.
No. I'm going to find her. You wait and see.
Ready.
Where are you?
Where are you, Mother? I'm going to find you.
I'm the littlest. Let me through. Mama, where are you?
Well, she's not behind the curtains. I can see you, Mother. She's under the table.
Oh, you found me, darlings. You found me.
Beg pardon, Mrs. Helmer.
What do you want?
Excuse me, the front door was ajar. It must be someone.
My husband isn't home, Mr. Krogstad.
I know that.
Yes, then what do you want here?
A word with you.
With? Now, children, go into the playroom with Anne-Marie.
But, Mother...
No, the strange man won't hurt Mama. When he's gone, we'll play some more.
Can we play more, Raptor?
No, quickly, Mama. Quickly now. You want to speak to me?
Yes, I want to.
Today, but it's not the first of the month.
No, it's Christmas Eve. It's going to be up to you how merry a Christmas you have.
What is it you want? Today I absolutely can't...
We won't talk about that till later. This is something else. You do have a moment to spare, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Of course I do.
But... Good. I was sitting over at Olson's restaurant when I saw your husband go down the street.
Yes.
With a lady.
Yes, so?
If you'll pardon my asking, wasn't that lady a Mrs. Lind?
Yes.
Just now, into town.
Yes, today.
She's a good friend of yours.
Yes, she is, but I don't see...
I also knew her once.
I'm aware of that.
Oh, you know all about it. I thought so. Well, then, let me ask you short and sweet. Is Mrs. Lind getting a job in the bank?
What makes you think you can cross-examine me, Mr. Krogstad? You, one of my husband's employees? But since you ask, you might as well know, yes. Mrs. Lynn's going to be taken on at the bank, and I'm the one who spoke for her, Mr. Krogstad. Now you know.
So I guessed right.
Oh, one does have a tiny bit of influence, I should hope. Just because I'm a woman, I don't think it means that... Well, when one has a subordinate position, Mr. Krogstad, one really ought to be careful about pushing somebody around who...
Has influence.
That's right.
Mrs. Helmer, would you be good enough to use your influence on my behalf?
What do you mean?
Would you please make sure that I keep my subordinate position in the bank?
What does that mean? Who's thinking of taking away your position?
Oh, don't play the innocent with me. I'm quite aware that your friend would hardly relish the chance of running into me again, and I'm also aware now whom I can thank for being turned out.
But I promise you...
Oh, yes, 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 to the point. There's still time, and I'm advising you to use your influence to prevent it.
But, Mr. Krogstad, I have absolutely no influence.
Oh, you haven't? I thought you were just saying.
Well, you shouldn't take me so literally. How can you believe that I have any such influence over my husband?
Oh, I've known your husband from our student days. I don't think the great bank manager is more steadfast than any other married man.
You speak insolently about my husband, and I'll show you the door.
The lady has spirit.
I'm not afraid of you any longer. After New Year's, I'll soon be done with the whole business.
Now listen to me, Mrs. Helmer. If necessary, I'll fight for my little job in the bank as if it were life itself.
Yes, so it seems.
It's not just a matter of income. That's the least of it. It's something else. All right. Out with it. Look, this is the thing. You know, just like all the others, of course, that once, a good many years ago... I did something rather rash.
I've heard rumors to that effect.
The case never got into court. But all the same, every door was closed in my face from then on. So I took up those various activities you know about. I had to grab hold somewhere. And I dare say I haven't been among the worst. But now I want to drop all that. My boys are growing up. For their sakes, I'll have to win back as much respect as possible here in town. That job in the bank was like the first rung in my ladder. And now your husband wants to kick me right back down in the mud again.
But for heaven's sake, Mr. Krogstad, it's simply not in my power to help you.
But that's because you don't have the will. But I have the means to make you.
You certainly won't tell my husband that I owe you money.
What if I told him that?
That would be shameful of you. This secret, my joy and my pride... That he should learn it in such a crude and disgusting way. Learn it from you. Oh, you'd expose me to the most horrible unpleasantness.
Only unpleasantness?
Oh, but go on and try. It'll turn out the worse for you because then my husband will really see what a crook you are. And then you'll never be able to hold on to your job.
I asked if it was only domestic unpleasantness you were afraid of.
If my husband finds out, then of course he'll pay whatever I owe at once. And then we'd be through with you for good.
Listen, Mrs. Helmer... You've either got a very bad memory or at least no head at all for business. I'd better put you a little more in touch with the facts.
What do you mean?
When your husband was sick, you came to me for a loan of 4,800 crowns.
Where else could I go?
I promised to get you that sum.
And you got it.
I promised to get you that sum on certain conditions. You were so involved in your husband's illness and so eager to finance your trip that I guess you didn't think out all the details. It might just be a good idea to remind you. I promised you the money on the strength of a note I drew up.
Yes, and that I signed.
Right. But at the bottom, I added some lines for your father to guarantee the loan he was supposed to sign right down there.
Supposed to. He did sign.
I left the date blank. In other words, your father would have dated his signature himself. Do you remember that?
Yes, I think.
Then I gave you the note for you to mail to your father. Isn't that so?
Yes.
And naturally, you sent it at once because only some 5-6 days later, you brought me the note properly signed, and with that, the money was yours.
Well, then, I've made my payments regularly, haven't I?
More or less. But getting back to the point, those were hard times for you, Mrs. Hilmer.
Yes, they were.
Your father was very ill, I believe.
He was near the end.
He died soon after?
Yes.
Tell me, Mrs. Hilmer, do you happen to recall the date of your father's death? The day of the month, I mean?
Papa died the 29th of September.
That's quite correct. I've already looked into that. And now we come to a curious thing, which I simply cannot comprehend.
Curious thing? I don't understand.
This is the curious thing, that your father co-signed the note for your loan 3 days after his death.
How? I don't understand.
Your father died the 29th of September. But look, here your father dated his signature October 2nd. Isn't that curious, Mrs. Hilmer? Can you explain it to me? It's also remarkable that the words October 2nd and the year aren't written in your father's hand, but rather in one that I think I know. Well, it's easy to understand. Your father forgot, perhaps, to date a signature, and then someone or other added it, a bit sloppily, before anyone knew of his death. There's nothing wrong in that. It all comes down to the signature. And there's no question about that, Mrs. Hilmer. It really was your father who signed his own name here, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I signed Papa's name.
Now, wait now. Are you fully aware that this is a dangerous confession?
Why? You'll soon get your money.
Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you send the paper to your father?
That was impossible. Papa was so sick. If I'd asked him for his signature, I would also have to tell him what the money was for. But I couldn't tell him. He was sick. That my husband's life was in danger. That was just impossible.
Then it would have been better if you'd given up the trip abroad.
I couldn't possibly. The trip was to save my husband's life. I couldn't give that up.
But didn't you ever consider that this was a fraud against me?
I couldn't let myself be bothered by that. You weren't any concern of mine. In fact, I couldn't stand you with all those cold complications you made, even though you knew how badly off my husband was.
Mrs. Hilmer, obviously you haven't the vaguest idea of what you've involved yourself in. But I can tell you this, it was nothing more and nothing worse than I once did, and it wrecked my whole reputation.
You. Do you expect me to believe that you ever acted bravely to save your wife's life?
Laws don't inquire into motives.
Then they must be very poor laws.
Poor or not, if I introduce this paper in court, you'll be judged according to law.
This I refuse to believe. A daughter hasn't a right to protect her dying father from anxiety and care. A wife hasn't a right to save her husband's life. I don't know much about laws, but I'm sure that somewhere in the books these things are allowed. And you don't know anything about it. You who practice the law, you must be an awful lawyer, Mr. Krogstad.
Could be. But business, the kind of business we two are mixed up in, don't you think I know about that? All right. Do what you want now. But I'm telling you this. If I get shoved down a second time, you're going to keep me company.
Oh, really? Trying to frighten me. I'm not so silly as all that. But, no. No, that's impossible. That's impossible. I did it out of love.
Mother, that strange man's gone out the door. Yeah, I saw him, too.
Yes, yes, I know it. But don't tell anyone about the strange man. Do you hear? Not even Papa.
No, Mother.
No, Mama.
No, Mother. But will you play again?
No. No, not now.
Mama, you promised!
Yes, but I can't now. Now, go inside. I have too much to do. Go in. Go back in, my sweet darlings.
That's not fair.
Oh, no. No. Helene! Let me have the Christmas tree in here. Oh, no, but that's utterly impossible.
Where should I put the tree, ma'am?
There. The middle of the floor.
Should I bring anything else?
No, thanks. I have what I need.
Very well, Miss Nora.
Oh, all right. I'll put the candles here. And the flowers here. And oh, that terrible creature. Talk, talk, talk. Talk, talk, talk. There's nothing to it at all. The tree's going to be lovely and... Oh, I'll do anything to please you, Torvald. I'll sing for you. I'll dance for you.
Nora?
Oh, Torvald, you're back so soon.
Yes, has anyone been here?
Here? No.
That's odd. I saw Krogstad leaving the front door.
So? Oh. Well, yes, that's true. Krogstad was here a moment.
Nora, I can see by your face that he's been here, begging you to put in a good word for him.
Yes.
And it was supposed to seem like your own idea? You were to hide it from me that he'd been here? He asked you that too, didn't he?
Yes, Torvald, but...
Oh, Nora, Nora, Nora. And you could fall for that? Talk with that sort of person and promise him anything? And then, in the bargain, tell me an untruth.
An untruth?
Didn't you say that no one had been here? My little songbird must never do that again. A songbird needs a clean beak to warble with, no false notes. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Yes, I'm sure of it. And so, enough of that. Ah, how snug and cozy it is here.
This tree will be so pretty. Torvald?
Yes?
I'm so much looking forward to the Stenborg's costume party the day after tomorrow.
And I can't wait to see what you'll surprise me with.
Oh, that stupid business.
What?
I can't find anything that's right. Everything seems so ridiculous and so inane.
Oh, so my little Nora's come to that recognition.
Are you very busy, Torvald?
Oh.
What papers are those?
Bank matters.
Already?
I've gotten full authority from the retiring management to make all necessary changes in personnel and procedure. I'll need Christmas week for that. I want to have everything in order by New Year's.
So that was the reason that this poor Krogstad...
Hmm.
If you weren't so very busy, I would have asked you for an enormous favor, Torvald.
Oh, let's hear. What is it?
You know, there isn't anyone who has your good taste. And I want so much to look well at the costume party. Torvald, couldn't you take over and decide what I should be and plan my costume?
Oh, is my stubborn little creature calling for a lifeguard?
Yes, Torvald, I can't get anywhere without your help.
All right, I'll think it over. We'll hit on something.
Aw, how sweet of you. Aren't the red flowers pretty on the tree?
Mm-hmm.
But tell me, was it really such a crime that this Krogstad committed?
Forgery. Do you have any idea what that means?
Couldn't he have done it out of need?
Yes, or thoughtlessness, like so many others. I'm not so heartless that I'd condemn a man categorically for just one mistake.
No, of course not, Torvald.
Plenty of men have redeemed themselves by openly confessing their crimes and taking their punishment.
Punishment?
But now Krogstad didn't go that way. He got himself out by sharp practices, and that's the real cause of his moral breakdown.
Do you really think...
Just that... imagine how a man with that sort of guilt in him has to lie and cheat and deceive on all sides. Has to wear a mask, even with the nearest and dearest he has. Even with his own wife and children. And with the children, Nora, that's where it's most horrible.
Why?
Because that kind of atmosphere of lies infects the whole life of a home. Every breath the children take in is filled with the germs of something degenerate.
Are you sure of that?
Oh, I've seen it often enough as a lawyer. Almost everyone who goes bad early in life has a mother who's a chronic liar.
Why just the mother?
It's usually the mother's influence that's dominant, but the father's works in the same way, of course. Every lawyer is quite familiar with it. And still, this Krogstad's been going home year in, year out, poisoning his own children with lies and pretense. That's why I call him morally lost. So, my sweet little Nora must promise me never to plead his cause. Your hand on it. Come, come. What's this? Give me your hand. There now. All settled. Oh, I can tell you it'd be impossible for me to work alongside of him. I literally feel physically revolted when I'm anywhere near such a person.
Oh, how hot it is in here. And I've got so much to do.
Yes, and I have to think about getting some of these papers read through before dinner. I'll think about your costume, too. And something to hang on the tree in gilt paper. I may even see about that. Mwah. Oh, you, my darling little songbird.
Oh, really? Really, it isn't so. It's impossible. It must be impossible.
Miss Nora, the children are begging so hard to come into
me. No. No, don't let them into me. You stay with them, Anne-Marie.
Of course, ma'am.
Hurt my children. Poison my home. Oh, that's not true. Never. Never in all the world. What was that? Someone's coming. Oh, wait. Wait, no. There's no one, of course. Of course, nobody's coming on Christmas Day or tomorrow either, but maybe. Oh, no. Nothing in our mailbox. Quite empty. Oh, what nonsense. Mr. Krogstad won't do anything serious. Nothing terrible could happen. It's impossible. Why, I have three small children.
Oh, well, at last I found the box with the masquerade clothes.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Put it on the table.
But they're all pretty much of a mess.
Ugh. I'd love to rip them in a million pieces.
Oh, mercy. They can be fixed right up. Just a little patience.
Yes. I'll go get Mrs. Lynn to help me.
Out again now in this nasty weather. Miss Nora will catch cold, get sick.
Oh, worse things could happen. How are the children?
The poor mites are playing with their Christmas presents, but...
Do they ask for me much?
They're so used to having Mama around, you know.
Yes, but Anne-Marie, I can't be together with them as much as I was.
Well, small children get used to anything.
You think so? Mm. Do you think they'd forget their mother if she was gone for good?
Oh, mercy, gone for good.
Wait, tell me, Anne-Marie, I've wondered so often. How could you ever have the heart to give your child over to strangers?
But I had to, you know, to become little Nora's nurse.
Yes, but how could you do it?
When I could get such a good place. A girl who's poor and who's gotten in trouble is glad enough for that. Because that slippery fish, he didn't do a thing for me, you know.
But your daughter's surely forgotten you.
Oh, she certainly has not. She has written to me both when she was confirmed and when she was married.
You old Anne-Marie. You were a good mother for me when I was little.
Poor little Nora, with no other mother but me.
And if the babies didn't have one, then I know that you'd... What silly talk! Go into them. Now I'll have to find a costume. Tomorrow you can see how lovely I'll look.
Oh, there won't be anyone at the party as lovely as Miss Nora.
Oh, if only I dared to go out, if only nobody would come. If only nothing would happen here while I was out. Oh, what craziness. Nobody's coming, just don't think. This muff, oh, it needs a brushing. Oh, beautiful gloves. Beautiful, beautiful gloves. Let it go, let it go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh! There they are.
Nora?
Oh, it's you, Christine. There's no one else out there?
I hear you were up asking for me.
Yes, I just stopped by. There's something you really can help me with. Let's get settled on the sofa. Look, there's going to be a costume party tomorrow evening at the Stenborgs in the apartment right above us. And now Torvald wants me to go as a Neapolitan peasant girl and dance the tarantella that I learned in Capri.
Really? Are you giving a whole performance?
Torvald says yes, I should. So here's the dress. Torvald had it made for me down there, but now it's all so tattered that I just...
Oh, we'll fix that up in no time. It's nothing more than the trimmings. They're a bit loose here and there. Needle and thread? Ah, good. Now we have what we need.
Oh, how sweet of you.
So you'll be in disguise tomorrow, Nora. You know what? I'll stop by then for a moment and have a look at you all dressed up. But listen, I've absolutely forgotten to thank you for that pleasant evening yesterday.
I don't think it was as pleasant as usual yesterday. You should have come to town a bit sooner, Christine. Oh, yes. Yes, no, Torvald really knows how to give a home elegance and charm.
And you do too, if you ask me. You're not your father's daughter for nothing. But tell me, is Dr. Rank always so depressed as he was yesterday?
No, that was quite unusual. But he does suffer from a serious illness. Tuberculosis of the spine, poor man. Mm. You know, his father was a disgusting thing who kept mistresses and so on, and that's why the son's been so sickly from birth.
My dearest Nora, how do you know about such things?
Oh, when you've had three children, then you've had a few visits from... from women who know something of medicine, and they tell you this and that.
Does Dr. Rank come here every day?
Every blessed day. He's Torvald's best friend from childhood, and my good friend, too. Dr. Rank almost belongs to this house.
But tell me, is he quite sincere? I mean, doesn't he rather enjoy flattering people?
Just the opposite. Why do you think that?
When you introduced us yesterday, he claimed that he'd often heard my name in this house. But later I noticed that your husband hadn't the slightest idea who I really was. So how could Dr. Rank
But
know
it's all true, Christine. You see, Torvald loves me beyond words, and as he puts it, he'd like to keep me all to himself. For a long time, he'd almost be jealous if I even mentioned any of my old friends back home, so of course I dropped that. But with Dr. Rank, I talk a lot about such things because he likes hearing about them.
Now listen, Nora, in many ways you're still like a child. I'm a good deal older than you, with a little more experience, and I'll tell you something. You ought to put an end to all of this with Dr. Rank.
What should I put an end to?
Both parts of it, I think. Yesterday, you said something about a rich admirer who'd provide you with money.
Yes, one who doesn't exist. Worse luck. So?
Is Dr. Rank well off?
Yes, he is.
With no dependents?
No, no one.
And he's over here every day?
Yes, I told you that.
How can a man of such refinement be so grasping?
I don't follow you at all.
Now, don't try to hide it, Nora. You think I can't guess who loaned you the 4,800 crowns?
Are you out of your mind? How could you think of such a thing? A friend of ours who comes here every single day, what an intolerable situation that would have been.
Then it really wasn't him.
No, absolutely not. It never even crossed my mind for a moment. And he had nothing to lend in those days. His inheritance came later.
Well, I think that was a stroke of luck for you, Nora, dear.
No, it never would have occurred to me to ask Dr. Rank. Still, I'm quite sure that if I had asked him...
Which you won't, of course.
No, of course not. I can't see that I'd ever need to, but I'm quite positive that if I talked to Dr. Rank...
Behind your husband's back?
I've got to clear up this other thing. That's also behind his back. I've got to clear it all up.
Yes, I was saying that yesterday, but...
Oh, a man handles these problems so much better than a woman.
One's husband does, yes.
Oh, nonsense. When you pay everything you owe... Then you get your note back, right?
Yes, naturally.
And can rip it into a million pieces and burn it up, that filthy scrap of paper.
Nora, you're hiding something from me.
You can see it in my face.
Something's happened to you since yesterday morning, Nora. What is it?
Oh, Christine. Oh, shh! Torvald's home. Look, take your sewing in with the children a while. Torvald can't bear all this snipping and stitching. Let Anne-Marie help you.
All right, but I'm not leaving here until we've talked this out.
I think it's going to snow again.
Oh, how I've been waiting for you, Torvald, dear.
Was that the dressmaker?
No, that was Christine. She's helping me fix up my costume. Mm. You know, it's going to be quite attractive.
Yes, wasn't that a bright idea I had?
Brilliant. But then wasn't I good as well to give in to you?
Oh, good, because you give in to your husband's judgment? All right, you little goose, I know you didn't mean it like that. But I won't disturb you. You'll want to have a fitting, I suppose.
Yes. And you'll be working?
Yes. See, all this paperwork, I've been down to the bank.
Torvald?
Yes?
If your little squirrel begged you with all her heart and soul for something...
What's that?
Then would you do it?
First, naturally, I'd have to know what it was.
Your squirrel would scamper about and do tricks if only you'd be sweet and give in.
Out with it.
Your lark would be singing high and low in every room.
Come on, she does that anyway.
I'd be a wood nymph and dance for you in the moonlight.
Nora, don't tell me it's that same business from this morning.
Oh, yes, Torvald, I beg you, please.
And you actually have the nerve to drag that up again.
Yes. Yes, you've got to give in to me. You have to let Krogstad keep his job in the bank.
My dear Nora, I've slated his job for Mrs. Lynn.
That's awfully kind of you, but you could just fire another clerk instead of Krogstad.
This is the most incredible stubbornness, because you go and give an impulsive promise to speak up for him. I'm expected...
That's not the reason, Torvald. It's for your own sake. That man does writing for the worst papers. You said it yourself. He could do you any amount of harm. I'm scared to death of him.
Ah, I understand. It's the old memories haunting you.
What do you mean by that?
Of course. You're thinking about your father.
Yes. All right. Just remember how those nasty gossips wrote in the papers about Papa and slandered him so cruelly. I think they would have definitely dismissed him if the department hadn't sent you up to investigate and if you hadn't been so kind and helpful toward him.
My dear Nora, there's a notable difference between your father and me. Your father's official career was hardly above your reproach, but mine is. And I hope it'll stay that way as long as I hold my position.
Oh, who can ever tell what vicious minds can invent? We could be so snug and happy now in our quiet, carefree home. You and I and the children, Torvald. That's why I'm pleading with you so.
And just by pleading for him, you make it impossible for me to keep him on. It's already known at the bank that I'm firing Krogstad. What if it's rumored around now that the new bank manager was vetoed by his wife?
Yes, what then?
Oh, yes, as long as our little bundle of stubbornness gets her way. I should go and make myself ridiculous in front of the whole office. Give people the idea I can be swayed by all kinds of outside pressure. Oh, you can bet. I'd feel the effects of that soon enough. Besides, there's something that rules Krogstad right out at the bank, as long as I'm the manager.
What's that?
His moral failings I could maybe overlook.
Oh, yes, Torvald, why not?
And I hear he's quite efficient on the job, but he was a crony of mine back in my teens. One of those rash friendships that crop up again and again to embarrass you later in life. Well, I might as well say it straight out. We're on a first-name basis. And that tactless fool makes no effort at all to hide it in front of others. Quite the contrary. He thinks that entitles him to take a familiar air around me. And so every other second he comes booming out with his, yes, Torvald, and sure thing, Torvald. Ah, I tell you, it's been excruciating for me. He's out to make my position at the bank unbearable.
Oh, Torvald, you can't be serious about all this.
Oh, no? Why not?
Because these are such petty considerations.
What are you saying, petty? You think I'm petty?
No! No, just the opposite, Torvald, dear. That's
never
exactly...
Never mind. You call my motives petty? Then I might as well be just that. Petty. All right. We'll put a stop to this for good. Helene?
What do you want?
A decision.
You called, sir?
Look here, Helene. Take this letter. Go out with it at once. Get hold of a messenger and have him deliver it. Quick now. It's already addressed. Wait. Here's some money.
Yes, sir.
There now, my little Miss Willful.
Torvald, what was that letter?
Krogstad's notice.
Oh, call it back, Torvald. There's still time, Torvald. Call it back. Do it for my sake, for your sake, for the children's sake. Do you hear me, Torvald? Do it. You don't know how this can harm us.
Too late.
Oh, yes, too late.
Nora, dear, I can forgive you this panic, even though basically you're insulting me.
No.
Yes, you are. Or isn't it an insult to think that I should be afraid of a courtroom hack's revenge? But I forgive you anyway. Because this shows so beautifully how much you love me. This is the way it should be, Nora, darling. Whatever comes, you'll see. When it really counts, I have the strength and courage enough as a man to take on the whole weight myself.
What do you mean by that?
The whole weight, I said.
Oh, no. No, no, never in all the world.
Good. So we'll share it. Nora, as man and wife, will share it. That's as it should be. Are you happy now? There, there, there. Not these frightened dove's eyes. It's nothing at all but empty fantasies. Now, you should run through your tarantella and practice your tambourine. I'll go to the inner office and I'll shut both doors so I won't hear a thing. You can make all the noise you like. And when Rank comes, just tell him where he can find me.
Torvald really could do it. He will do it. He'll do it in spite of everything. Oh, no, 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 not that, never. Anything but that. Escape. A way out. Dr. Rank. Oh, yes. Anything but that. Anything. Whatever it is.